Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
And he ran home to cry to his family about it. And he was playing the victim card. But guys, get this. While he was whining, the king's people showed up to take him to Esther's banquet. Oh, it ain't over with you yet, Haman. So now we're at the banquet with Esther, Haman, and the king. He's still feeling terrible. He didn't even get to get his complaining out. And Esther finally speaks up for her people and tells the king her true identity. Esther 7:4, she tells him, "For we have been sold, my people and I." She's talking about the Jews. She just right there said, "I'm a Jew," right in front of Haman. "For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss." So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, "Who is he? And where is he? Who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before the queen, before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, "Will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house?" As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, "Look, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him on it." Bam! Oh, I want to laugh, but man, I want to shudder too. Hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Haman is gone. He's out of here. He intended for the Jews to be killed, but Haman died on his own gallows that he himself had built. His plans of pride hung him. Proud person, if you're whoever's hearing me, all the plans you build based on your pride, you're going to hang on it. I would probably disengage that project and see what the Lord would rather you do for him instead of your own stuff. But that's a little side note. But what a pathetic way to go. But guys, there's still a problem. It's not done. There's still a problem. Persian law says that once you pass a decree, it can't be undone. Not even the king can do it. When you pass a decree and send it out, it's out there. It's that annihilation day for the Jews is still coming. It was sealed with the royal ring and everything. It's still active. That old decree to annihilate the Jews is still out there with a set date on it. So the king told Mordecai and Esther, "I want you to go write a new decree, and a new decree that will counter the old decree giving the Jews a way to be saved." Esther 8:2. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Remember all the stuff Haman was bragging about that he had? Okay, look who's got it now, right? Verse 8, then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, "You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke." Okay, so that signet ring of authority that Haman used to have has now been passed to Mordecai and Esther. So they drafted a new decree, a new decree to go out, giving the Jews permission to kill anybody who had assaulted them. And they sealed it with the authority of the king's signet ring. And they ran copies of that decree out to all over the empire as fast as they could. So everybody had been scared of the first decree. Now they got another one. Well, wait a minute. One decree was going to kill us. Now this decree is going to save us, right? Esther 9 and 1 says, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred, and that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. Back in your face. Okay, it finally came down, but the Jews were given a new decree. One question, though, how did the Jews overpower all these people? Well, because Mordecai had been promoted by the king, he instructed the king's military to help the Jews fight. So this was not just the Jews fighting. This was also the king's military helping them. That was in the new decree that went out to save them. Nice. So the fear of Mordecai fell on the Jews' enemies. So Mordecai instituted from this the Feast of Purim. Remember, Purim means the plural for lots that Haman threw for their death day. He instituted the Feast of Purim to be reminded every year of the lots that were thrown to choose the day that all the Jews would be killed. But now that day was turned from sorrow into joy for them, because the Lord God fights for his people and the Lord God wants to save his people. Isn't that great? Esther 9:26, so they called these days Purim after the name Pur. Friends, I want you to take one thing from here. The Lord God saves his people. So I want you to watch this next part about Purim very, very closely. Okay, check this out. We're getting into some theological stuff here. Esther 9:27. The Jews established and deposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them. If you're a Gentile, not a Jew like me, you need to underline that right there where it says all their descendants and all who would join them. That all who would join them, that includes you and me. Right? This is a very Jewish Purim I've never heard of. Hey, before I understood the Jewishness of our faith, I hadn't heard of Purim either. But it says, you Gentiles, me Gentile, we get to jump into this, right? And all who would join them, that without fail, they should celebrate these 2 days every year. Okay, the Bible says celebrate Purim every year. I've never heard of Purim. Yeah, let's read the Bible and find out what God wants us to do, and let's do it. Okay, that's why we're celebrating it today. So this says the Feast of Purim should be kept, and not just for the Jews, but who else? All who would join them. Friends, I'm a Gentile. I'm not Jewish that I know about, and this Jewish holiday is also for me. This is mine too. And I believe we should join the Jews in this feast. First off, our salvation is from the Jews. Jesus even said so in John 4:22. He said, salvation comes from the Jews. Friends, Jesus is a Jew. I don't know if you knew that or not, but he's a Jew, okay? So let me put this whole story into a Jesus parallel for you. First off, I want us to understand some very important things. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. I am a sinner. Some people believe pastors are perfect. Oh, good Lord, you've got to be kidding me. I'm a sinner. Anybody in here think, well, you're not a sinner like me, Ray? Yes, I am. I have sinned. I have done bad things in my life. And God's law says, if you sin, you die. That's God's law. Well, I just showed it to you. The wages of sin is death. You should die. You earned that because you're a sinner. I'm not just pointing at you. I'm talking about me. I sinned. I should be dead. I should be condemned. As a matter of fact, our best righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags unto God. And God's law against us is still out there, guys. God's law against our sin is still out there. It has not been revoked. It's just like that first royal decree that was sent out. Its purpose was to annihilate all those who were lawless. And for any of us sinners who try to walk into the presence of God, our Lord and our King, we can't just walk in there as sinners. If we were to just go in there to the King, that would be a serious breach of royal protocol. We can't approach the Lord God. We can't just go in there. We're the sinner. Habakkuk 1:13 says of the Lord, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil." I'm just going to go to God. You can't. Well, what am I supposed to do? I'm getting to the good news. Just hang on. We're getting there. But guys, the first thing we need to understand, if you really want to get saved, you first need to understand the sinner that you are, that I am. We're sinners. We just blew it, guys. Let's just swallow that. Don't beat yourself up over the mistakes you've made. I'm not doing that. I'm a sinner, but I'm a forgiven sinner, okay? But there's the judgment day out there of God's law. So basically, there's an upcoming day that has been set for our annihilation, for our destruction. It's called judgment day. And not one of us sinners is going to survive it. Every last one of us are doomed for condemnation. We cannot approach our King Jesus unless the King invites you. Oh, I see Esther playing out now. You can't go into that king's throne room unless he asks you to come. Remember how King Ahasuerus found favor with Esther, so he held out his scepter to her. That was the invitation to come to him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friend, that is your invitation by the King. He says, "I invite you to come in." That's our invitation. Okay, good, I get to go in. But wait a minute, hang on. There's something we read that Esther did that I want to show you. It was easy to skip over. I want to point out something to you. There's something Esther did first before she went into the King. Chapter 5 says that before she went into the presence of the King, she first put on royal robes. Do you remember reading that? But she didn't just march right in. She got dressed, man. She got this royal robe. She put, it was probably purple and, you know, just royal color, and got dressed. Isaiah 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness." You got to get dressed with that before you get to go in to see the King. The book of Romans says we should put on Christ. Like when you put on your clothes, you put on Christ. That means no more you, no more this proud Haman, "Oh, look how awesome I am." No, you take that off and you put on Christ and get clothed in his righteousness. Because friends, I'll tell you, you and I have no righteousness at all. We have none. We're bankrupt. Stop thinking you're so great. Man, I can't believe I got a pastor telling me how terrible I am. Well, we read it. We're sinners and we deserve death. I'm just being truthful with you. The only shot you have at all of being saved at all, the only way you can do anything good at all is because of the righteousness that the Lord God wants to clothe you with. But you got to put that on. Revelation says that believers will wear fine linen in holy righteousness. Friends, if you want the King of Kings to find favor with you, you can't just go into him as you are. You first have to put on the royalty of Jesus Christ. You have to put on the righteousness of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only garment that you can wear that our King will find favor with on you. He's it. If you ain't wearing Jesus, you're not getting an invitation to come in. But did you notice in the story how some people were killed while others were saved? We had two decrees out there. Some people were killed, some people were saved. Those who got under Haman's law of destruction, they all died. But those who chose to get under Mordecai's new and better saving law, they all lived. Now, I want you to watch this. Check this out. The Bible says of Jesus in Hebrews 8:6, it says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant." It's better than the one that was already out there, a better covenant which was established on better promises. Jesus once said, all authority has been given to me. Just like how that signet ring was passed over to Mordecai. So Jesus had all the authority so that Jesus could draft up a brand new covenant that would save us from the covenant that was out there that was going to kill us. That first covenant was going to kill you. And so Jesus says, let me have the signet ring. I'll send out another covenant. And he sent that one out to save you. Save us from our sin. God's old law is still out there, friends. I don't want you to be mistaken. I want you to understand that God's old law that's going to kill people, the sinful, it is still out there and it will not be revoked. It is out there to kill you for your sin. And everyone who refuses to get under the blood of Jesus will be caught by God's condemning, destructive law. But for those of us who have put on Jesus, who decide to get under the new covenant, Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Oh, ha. You know why we're partying today? Can you see this? Because God says, I don't want you to be destroyed. I want you to be saved. Isn't that great? Under the old law, we were all going to die, guys. But just like how Mordecai and Esther worked on a better decree, Jesus worked out for our better covenant of grace, not for our destruction, but for our salvation. So can you see why Purim is offered not just to Jews, but to all who would join the Jews? Friend, are you glad that you've been saved? Well, then this is your day to celebrate your salvation today on Purim. It's not just a celebration for them. Our salvation picture is in this story. So yes, you better believe I'm celebrating Purim because I'm under the better covenant of Jesus Christ where I don't have destruction to look forward to. I have salvation under Jesus. I have victory. Amen. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son, Jesus, has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Y'all remember how the king was infuriated with Haman? How mad the king was, so he ordered, hang him. Hang him! I want you to think about that for a minute. Imagine standing in front of the king, and he looks at you and says, hang that person. You're toast, man. You're gone. So a wrathful king demands the death of the guilty. But I also want you to remember how we read in the text. It said that after they hanged Haman on the gallows. It says, after he hanged, the king's wrath subsided. You remember that? The king's wrath subsided after he died. Friends, if you want God's wrath against your sin to subside, you know what you have to do? You have to die. If you want the Lord God's wrath against you to go away, you have to die. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want the king's wrath to subside? You need to be crucified with Christ. It's no longer about you anymore. It's no longer about your little empire that you're building for yourself like Haman. Oh, look what I have. Look what I've. That's just going to go into somebody else's hands like it went into Esther and Mordecai's. But friends, you've got to die. Why should we celebrate Purim? Because if we die to our old self and if we put on Jesus, then we can find favor with our King who invites us to come in with him through the new and better covenant of the grace of Jesus Christ. Purim is just one more reason for us to celebrate our salvation. Isn't that exciting? I would like to ask all of you, if you want to, go home today, pick up the book of Esther and read the whole thing. And there's a lot of stuff I skipped. You need to see all of it. This story is really, really cool. But our salvation's in this. So I want to show you a Purim rap video. Yes, sung by Jews, actually.
Purim and again, people want to do what's evil like they tried to do way back then. But we're God's sons. God is one. People do to them what he did to Haman. Yes, we've got the rock of ages. Everyone together now. We've got the rock of ages. Hey! Don't make us any trouble, cause the rock of ages, he can knock off your block till eternity. If you mess with the Jews, you're bound to lose. God will make another Jewish holiday from you. So we've got the rock of ages. You know that Purim is the holiday when all the Jews say, if you're happy, God will slay all of your enemies. Don't be afraid, no need to cry. God will turn your troubles to a bundle of joy. So we've got the rock of ages. Whoa. We've got the rock of ages. Oh. Anti-Semitism is another way of saying that you hate the creator of the universe. That's what our enemies said. Now they're dead. Come on, let's celebrate Purim instead. Hey, we got the rock of ages. Everyone together now. No, we got the rock of ages. One more time. Hey, we got the rock of ages. Woo! We got the rock of ages.
We've got the rock of ages. Amen. Aren't y'all excited? You know, the Jews have a saying, they tried, they died, let's eat. We're going to do that too. Father, thank you for your word today. We're going to celebrate our salvation. Lord, we just thank you. Gosh, you didn't even have to do this for us because we're so unworthy. You could have just left us alone and said, no, you messed up, too bad for you. But no, you came to save us because you didn't want us to be destroyed. Thank you, Lord. For anybody here, you want to know how to get, well, Ray, how do I do it? How do I do it? What ceremony? It's not a ceremony. You just need to believe. Here's how you do it. Just follow me. I'll pray with you. You pray. If you want to get saved right now, you don't want God's wrath against you for your sin. You know you've messed up. You know you haven't yet fixed the problem. Here's where your solution comes. Pray with me. Just do this. Father, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I messed up. I messed up bad. And I don't want to suffer your wrath. Thank you for sending Jesus for that new covenant that he died on the cross and paid the death penalty that I was supposed to take. He paid it for me so that I could be free. I give you my life, Lord Jesus. I will follow you. I will pursue you. It's no longer about me. I now get rid of my pride. I put on your son, Jesus. Thank you for coming after me. I give you my life. It is yours now. Take it and do what you want with it. Thank you for the invitation of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you just got saved right where you are. Right now, you just crossed over from death to life. You crossed over from judgment to grace. And now, Father God's wrath against you will now subside.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life.